spotted Bigfoot, and this isn't the first time. The legend continues.
This thing was approximately 3.5-4 feet wide, 6-7 foot tall.
Tree we found, several tracks, real large, way larger than a human.
I looked off towards the woods, and I saw these two long legs moving at the edge of the timber.
It is a mixture of ape and human characteristics.
8 to 10 foot, hairy man-looking person.
It walked with a glide, and then it reached an arm out and kind of touched the tree as it walked by.
Here, one was in the presence of something great unknown.
Never in my life time did I ever think that I was going to run into something like that.
We need something more. The accounts of eyewitnesses today.
You've heard the legends. Now, hear the real stories firsthand. It's Bigfoot, the podcast.
Hi, everybody. My name is Gwen Purcell, and I am with Got Knockers, and I'm super excited to be here. This is our first installment of Bigfoot, the podcast, and I'm here with my new partner in crime, Ben Willis.
Hello, hello.
This is going to be fantastic, isn't it?
I am so excited. We're here to talk about
Bigfoot.
Everything Bigfoot.
Which is awesome. Yeah.
You're here. You got stories.
I got lots of stories. They compile daily, just about. But we should probably like
start from the beginning.
Start from the beginning. Yeah. Because it's kind of crazy. I never believed in Bigfoot before. Never. Mm. Never would have even given a thought. Like, I've watched the shows, right? We all watch the shows. And I was like, yeah, you know, it's probably like the world's biggest hoax. You know, if they find it, fantastic. If they don't, you know, whatever. But man, that day we pulling up to that stop sign, I looked across that cornfield and there it was walking across there. And I was like, you know, initially I was like, look, somebody's in the field. And then I was like, wait a minute. Like, the farmer doesn't even live close. So when he comes to the field, he drives a tractor. Well, I'm like looking around and I'm like, well, there's no tractor here. Like, who the heck would be walking across this field? And this thing was humongous, like broadside of a barn. This thing was huge.
Visibly so.
Visibly so. And I was like, holy crap. Like, for lack of better wording, what the fuck is that? Like, it's just, you know, and I'm a talker. I talk all the time, nonstop. And I was quiet all day following that. And my husband, we were in the car driving home, and my husband's like, what is wrong with you? Like, you haven't talked all day. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, did you see that thing in the cornfield? He's like, what thing? And I was like, dude, a naked lady could be walking down the street. And he would totally miss it because he's just not paying attention. But he was like, you did not see a Bigfoot. We do not have Bigfoot around here. And I'm like, dude, I'm telling you what I saw. Like, and I'm a, you know, tell it like it is. Like, I don't care if I really hurt your feelings. I try to be tactful, but that doesn't always work out. And I was like, you're not going to believe this. I found Bigfoot reports out of Shamokin.
Shamokin.
He was like, they're drinking. They're coal miners. They didn't see Bigfoot. You know, they were trash. And I was like, dude, I'm telling you. In Shamokin, there were Bigfoot reports back in like the 60s and 70s. And I was like, this is unreal. Unreal. So then I just started asking people who equally thought I was nuts and crazy. And because I just don't care what people think about me, it doesn't affect me. And people started telling me, like, I saw a Bigfoot at the water company in Sunbury. And I was like, the freaking water company? Like, are you kidding me? Yeah, it was insane. Insane.
It leaves you speechless, honestly.
It does.
To think about things like that.
I was quiet all day because I'm like trying to process this whole incident and the whole like finding these reports. Like, I would have never looked for Bigfoot reports in this area if I would not have seen this huge giant black thing, you know, walking across this cornfield. And I was like, I can't, even still today, sometimes when I talk about things, I laugh at myself because I'm like, I can't believe you just said that. Like, you sound like a lunatic. But it's what happened. Like, I can't make it up. So, Ben, I think before we go any further, we should probably talk about Got Knockers.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that, yeah, just because it's a little Double entendre, maybe? what do you mean?
It is by a funny knockers, double meaning, yes. Doesn't it? But Bigfoot is thought to knock on trees to get the attention or communicate with other Bigfoot.
With what?
Trees, rocks, you know, whatever. I don't know exactly how it works, but
okay.
I have heard tree knocks in the woods. I wish I could tell you that yes, it's a tree on a tree or a rock or whatever, but I just don't know. But so I was on this Bigfoot expedition. I'm very green in the Bigfoot world, and I paid several hundred dollars to go into the woods with professional Bigfooters. And my husband thought I was insane, but it was my birthday and I was paying for it. So I did. And so we're in the middle of this in the woods. And one of the guys that I paid to be there with picked up these tree branches and he like debarked them and cut them real nice. And I was actually a little jealous. They were really nice knockers. But that aside, I looked right at him because I was making t-shirts at home. And I said, when I get home, I'm going to make you a t-shirt. And I did. I came home. It was supposed to be like a play on like a milk carton, you know, got knockers.
Okay. Yeah,
and so I said it to him and he messaged me immediately and was like, you have to trademark this. And I was like, get the hell out of here. I'm like, that is ridiculous. Nobody is going to want this got knocker shirt. And he was like, I'm telling you, you really need to trademark this. And I sat on it for about 6 months. And finally, I did trademark it. And funny story, the lawyer was like, you know, if you take the Bigfoot out of the logo, you could make that any font you want. You can use it however you want to. And I was like, the Bigfoot has to stay. Because if I take the Bigfoot out, people are just thinking I'm talking about boobs.
Yeah, that's the obvious choice.
Not talking about boobs at all. So the Bigfoot has to stay. So the logo is as it is because that's how it has to be. But I go to festivals and women look at the stand, like I'll have the t-shirts and stuff out and they look at it and they're like, just real slow walking, staring. And there's my husband. And he's like, it's my wife's brand. Like, because he really does.
It's not me. Right. Don't look at me. Don't blame me.
He does look like the creeper guy standing at the stand. And so it's hilarious. But that's what Gottwalkers means. It started out as a joke and has turned into.
Well, it feels like it might continue to be pun here.
And we do a breast cancer shirt. So that's, kind of a play on words, right?
Perfect.
Got knockers, yeah.
So you say it knocks like Morse code? I mean, like, is there any language or something that they say?
I don't know what the knocks mean. Like, I have had experiences where I've climbed out of my tent in the morning and I'm looking around for footprints and I hear a tree knock behind me and I'm like, what the hell is that? Like, it's almost, you get the feeling like they're saying, hey, she's awake. Like,
huh.
I mean, my husband says that every time I step out of bed. Oh, Jesus, she's up. Like, I don't know what's going to happen today, but yeah, that's the feeling that you got. Like, hey, she's awake. Like, I don't know if he's telling other Bigfoot, say, you know, watch out for her. She's the crazy lady is awake. I'm not sure what's happening, but yeah, just simple tree knocks. I don't.
Have you tried to communicate yourself?
Oh yeah.
Through this method.
You know, and I'm a little nervous about it. Like when I do a tree knock, because I don't know what I'm saying. Like... Yeah, because I don't know what I'm saying.
My whole craft is full of eels. Yes.
Right. Am I going to piss somebody off and he's going to come storming through the woods and rip my arms off? Like, I don't know what's happening. So I'm hesitant to do tree knocks, but I have done them. But again, I don't know what I'm saying.
Or what kind of accent, perhaps.
Right. Like if I knock too softly, is that like a mating call? If I knock too loud, is that a aggressive call? Like,
well, I've heard other people say it too that there's whoops associated.
Yes, yeah. I'm not a good whooper.
No.
Not a good whooper at all. It's terrible.
Where do you go from?
Yeah.
From there, it's like.
And again, what are you saying when you're making a whoop?
It's like what could that possibly mean?
Are you drawing somebody in for dinner? Is it like I don't. Does the baby's diaper need changed? I'm not sure. Like, I don't know what you're saying. So I'm leery to make those noises in the woods because I just don't know what I'm going to get from it. Like, what the reaction is going to be.
I know personally, I was raised to be out and about in the outdoors. I was a Boy Scout and a whole bunch of stuff. Heard some weird things out in the day. Never stopped to think it might have been a Bigfoot.
But now, every time you hear a noise, you're going to wonder.
I'm going to think about this. And every time I hear a big crack in the background, it's like, oh, who said what? Oh, this is food for thought. I'll tell you what. Yeah. So I can imagine you spent a lot of time, though. Like I have out in the woods, just outside experiencing
I do.
A whole bunch of stuff.
I do go out quite a bit, as often as I can. With Bigfoot season coming and festival season, I get less time during the summertime to go out in the woods than I'd like. But I did have another instance with a Bigfoot in Salt Fork, Ohio, where he actually touched the back of my car. And so,
lay your hands on the car.
Yeah. I slept in my Bronco because my husband was not able to go with me. So I packed a light, took an air mattress, slept in the back of my Bronco. Got up Saturday morning. We went down this dirt road to scout a spot to research that night. And when we came back, I get out of the car, I walk around the back, and there is a very large handprint on the back of my car. Now, I had to really stretch my fingers out to try and reach this and still didn't get it. It's probably 17 inches wide, the fingerprints. But everywhere I touched on the car, no prints. Didn't dust my prints at all. Just these, I was like pure baffled about these fingerprints. I, for lack of better wording, nearly shit my pants because I was like, holy crap, I was sleeping in there. When Bigfoot touched my car, like
so, we're talking like Rachmaninoff hands. We're big
fingerprints. Wide fingers. Yeah,
that's bigger than my hands, which is the same.
And then I'm thinking to myself, shit, I have nothing here to lift these fingerprints. Right away, I went into detective mode. Crap, I should probably carry stuff with me. Right, that's the new thing in my tackle box is contact paper, so that I can lift fingerprints.
Like for shelves.
Yeah. Works
okay.
Great.
Okay.
So Saturday night, we go out in the woods. We're doing our research. We come back. I am in my truck sleeping. 4 o'clock in the morning, I wake up. It's like 20 after four. And I see something standing directly behind my car. Now, I am parked against the wood line.
Wait a minute.
I know. Because I would have had to drive through this thing to park where I parked. So I knew it wasn't there before. There's just enough moonlight to light up so you can see. And there's this thing. And I only see like the midsection of it. No shoulders, no head. And I'm starting to panic. Now, I'm a big, tough girl. But even I was like afraid to blink. Because if Bigfoot hears me, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I don't want to make any noise. I don't want to know him, let him know that I'm awake. Because if he... What's he going to do, smash out my window and rip me out of the car by my feet? Like, what's happening?
What's he just doing? Standing there?
Just standing there, staring. Staring. I was freaking out. I'm looking out the side windows. Nobody else is up. Everybody's in their tents and trucks sleeping. And I thought, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Like, big tough Gwen before this would have been like, I'd get out of my car. And I, no. Gwen freaked out, was afraid to move. I laid there and I listened to hear if he would walk away and I heard nothing. But when I looked back, it was gone. And I never packed so fast in the morning. Like I just shoved shit in my car. There was no folding things up. It was just shove it in there, close the door. And I went home. Didn't say anything to anybody. Called my husband. I'm like, you are not going to fucking believe what happened last night. And, I tell him, he goes, like, you need to talk to Bill. Bill was sleeping in the truck next to me, in his truck, sleeping. So I call Bill. Bill calls me back, and he says, the lady that was sleeping across from me in her tent got out of the tent at the same time, approximately, and saw it standing there. And she checked it in her FLIR camera.
Wait.
Yeah.
Dual, so this is confirmed.
Yeah, what? I saw it, she saw it. But her FLIR camera does not take pictures, which really pissed me off.
FLIR camera?
A thermal camera.
Oh, okay.
She had like a mono knock FLIR camera.
Oh, okay.
And she said that there was absolutely something standing there. Now, detective mode. I'm like, shit, I got to get home and lift these fingerprints. I'm like 4.5 hours away from my house. And I hit Like one raindrop hit my car window and I
it's all gone forever.
Freaked out in the car, screaming to every god in heaven, going, please, no, Fred. And it cleared up. And I made it home, parked it in the garage, lifted the prints, and it was insane. I will never forget it. But I thinking to myself, okay, I drive a Bronco. So it's like 5.5 feet from the ground to the top of my car. So I didn't see shoulders or a head. So ballpark, the thing had to have been 7 foot tall. Minimum. Yeah.
That's a beefy boy.
That's a beefy boy. And I freaked out. I don't know. That was insane. I'm dying to go back.
I was going to say, get more fingerprints. How, like, when you lifted the fingerprints, I'm like, what did you see? Like,
dermal ridges.
Really?
I framed them so that I could take them and show everybody. I carry these fingerprints everywhere.
Oh, my gosh.
They're probably in the back of my car right now.
I honestly do want to see those things. Once we're done here, I want to take a look at those things. That is very intriguing.
It is impressive. So I will share this on my Got Knockers Facebook page.
Oh, perfect.
So that everybody can see it, but I will definitely make sure that you get a firsthand view.
You too can judge for yourself looking at these things. Oh, this is fascinating stuff. I got to be honest. I came into this project as a skeptic, most like because I've been brought up the very rigid scientific method. You know, my grandparents were both science teachers, you know, and my dad's an engineer, and like, I was brought up doing, you know, audio engineering stuff and everything like that. But I want to keep an open mind.
Yes.
I don't want to say this can't happen. I wasn't going to say that. I wasn't going to say you're hallucinating things or taking things out of proportion or reading into something. No, I don't want to say that because, quite frankly, I've had situations where maybe I haven't necessarily seen things like Bigfoot, but I'm not going to say that's not what you experienced
right. In
this case. Absolutely not. But I am fascinated to think that there are things out there that we just have not encountered in this world. We know that there's things we have not yet encountered in this world.
Right.
It's a fact, right?
Mm-hmm. It's a fact. I mean, to think that we've discovered everything there is out there is just moronic. Like, if you believe that, you know, in the depths of the oceans, then places that we can't get to, that there's not something down there that we don't know about, that we've never discovered, you're insane. Like, because we can't get there. We don't know what's there. There are millions and millions of acres of forest in the world that have never been touched by human hands. To say that we know what's there definitively is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Just thinking about, you know, places, the farthest extremes.
Right.
But even so, we can't be looking everywhere at once.
We can't. And with the human population exploding and people moving into what used to be wooded areas, we are literally pushing creatures of all kinds further in, you know, we're giving them less and less space to live, which means we're seeing more and more of different creatures that we wouldn't normally see because they don't have any place else to go.
Now, here is where I absolutely agree with that, is that because we are encroaching on all these areas. We have been pushed back.
Yep.
You look at maps of virgin forest across the United States over the last 300 years, it's getting whittled
yes.
back to almost absolutely nothing. So if ever there was a time when we would be encountering something that had been secluded,
yes,
it does kind of make a little bit of sense. Again, I'm not going to say for sure. I don't know. I just need some more convincing.
And then you have to factor in, I mean, we've had a lot of wildfires. I mean, Canada, the whole country was basically on fire last summer.
Okay. Oh,
like those animals got to go somewhere. If they don't die in the fire, they've got to go somewhere. And where are they going to go? They're going to come to the United States. I mean, they're kind of landlocked there. They're either going to go north to more snow and colder temperature, or they're going to come south.
No, they're going to stop at the border. See, I don't have a visa.
I can't go there. It's the United States. I don't have my passport. Right. It's, you know, kind of, you know. Get off topic. I mean, like mountain lions. Pennsylvania says we do not have mountain lions. What, do they stop at the border of New York?
Ohio. Yeah, whatever.
And they're like, I can't go there. That's Pennsylvania. I mean, that's just stupid. That's really stupid of Pennsylvania to even make that statement. You don't know. I mean, of course they know because they release them here. But, I mean, that's here and near there. But, I mean, these creatures just don't stop and go, well, I can't go there. That's, they don't give a shit. They're going to go where they want to go, and they really don't care.
It's like the raccoons or the deer that just wander into town.
Yeah. I mean, garbage pandas are everywhere.
So after talking about all this stuff, your experiences personally out seeing and hearing these things, I got to ask, why are we here today for the podcast? What is driving you to get this out?
It's giving people a safe place to talk about their stories. People call me crazy every day, and it's okay. I take it. I roll with it. I laugh with people when I tell them, and they laugh and they go, you know, you're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, it is what it is. But other people may not let it roll off their back like I do. And people do not come forward because of fear of ridicule and being called crazy. And I want people to feel safe enough to come forward and say, I had this experience, or I had this encounter, or I had something I can't explain. And people go to their graves with this little piece of tidbit information that happened to them, and they never get it out. And it's something that nags at you. I mean, every day I drive down the highway and I'm looking in the woods as I'm driving, thinking, it could be out there somewhere. It could be watching me drive by right now. Like, it's a never ending conversation in my brain that is constantly happening. And if I'm having that, other people are having that. So I want people to have a safe place to go. It's also important for research to know the what, when, whys, hows, wheres of people's encounters and their stories so that we can better track and learn about these creatures.
So talking about stories, looking for people's stories.
Yeah.
Is going to be part of what we're setting up here on.
Right. Absolutely.
Bigfoot the podcast. So how would someone get in contact with us here?
They can, on the website, there is a reporting section where they can fill out a paper and on gotknockers.org, and they can fill out the form online, and it goes directly to me. I will be the one that's reading it.
No one else is reading
it. Nobody else is reading it but me. And then I am able to communicate with that person and contact them in whatever means is best for them, whether it's text message or phone calls or emails or whatever. But I can get in contact with them and hear their story. And if they're brave enough to come on the podcast with us,
I love that.
We can put that story right out here and we can talk about what their encounter was.
And types of encounters, close, near, passing.
All kinds. I don't care. I've gotten people that have seen it, something as they're just driving down the road and something steps into the woods. Like, I want to hear all of them. I mean, the up close and personal encounters are the most amazing.
Because I would say so.
Because you can tell when somebody's telling a story if it's real or not because of the emotion that they put into it. Like, you can tell because they're reliving it as they're telling you. And they're just as scared now as they were 10 years ago when it happened. So, yeah, I love to hear people's stories. On the next show that we're going to do, we are going to have Sean Forker here.
Who is Sean Forker?
Sean Forker lives in Williamsport. He is somebody I've met through the Bigfoot community, and we have become like brother and sister. He is just amazing. But he actually had a pretty crazy, scary encounter that he still is like, when he talks about it, you can still kind of hear the emotion in his voice. And I've heard it several times. And I every time he tells the story, I'm on the edge of my seat listening, even though I've heard it before. It's really an intense story, and he's going to be with us to share that story.
Oh, I can't wait. Time.
Yeah.
I cannot wait.
Yeah, he's awesome. On the website, the brand new website, yes, that's going to be launching.
Shiny.
I'm so excited about it. I literally, when they sent it to me, I cried when I thumbed through it. It was just so cool. But you can get all of our merch there. You can see festival information with a big festival coming up in August.
Oh, yeah.
I went from 28 vendors to 65 vendors, so it's going to be pretty freaking awesome. And you're going to be able to file your reports. You're going to be able to look at all kinds of stuff on there. It's going to be pretty amazing at gotknockers.org. So excited about this website. It's going to be amazing. And I know everybody's going to love it too, because it's just so freaking cool. Very, very cool. And you will also find the podcasts on the website, too.
Which you're listening to right now.
Which you're listening to
so,
right now.
So you found it. Congratulations. We reached the end of the podcast.
But this podcast is just going to get better and better the more we go.
I promise. So. Cross my heart. We will get a little smoother on
it. It's going to be great. It's going to be really awesome.
Bigfoot, the podcast. Listen wherever podcasts are available. And at gotknockers.org.